Good morning. Happy Easter to everyone. This is Brother John recording again from home for our service on April 12th, Easter Sunday. And again, I believe every day should be Easter for us, not just once a year. Every day we should have the resurrected Christ in our life. So today I'd like to pray together with you and just want to acknowledge that we miss everyone. We miss coming together, worshiping the Lord together, and fellowshipping with one another. It makes us all, I hope it makes us all realize the value of coming together as a local body, portion of the body of Christ, and what we bring for each other. For me, it's not easy. It's much more difficult to speak a sermon when I'm alone here at home than to be at church and to see your faces and to feel the pull from the local church. So please continue to pray for me. I'm still fighting a cough. I know that Christ has healed us, and by his stripes we are healed. And it's just these nagging symptoms that we are looking at. But I do feel well, and I trust that everyone's well. And feel free to text me or call me as you will. And we'll, I'm sure we'll be together again soon. I don't know when that will be, but I feel like that the virus thing is not going to last that much longer. We'll see. But God bless you, and let's turn to Exodus chapter 3, and I'm going to read from verse 1. Let's pray before we read. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so grateful for your mercy and your grace to us. And Lord, though we're living in very strange and unusual times, we know you are God and you change not, and that you saw this time before the foundation of the world, and we have confidence in you, we have confidence in your word. While we have no confidence in ourselves and our abilities, Lord, we have great confidence in your willingness and your desire to keep every promise that you've made in the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for allowing me to try, Lord, to get out of the way, to minister to this local body, Lord. We feel very insufficient, Lord. We feel unworthy to do it, but we're putting our shoulder to the wheel, and we ask you to help us, Lord. Bless this few thoughts we have on this Sunday where around the world people are celebrating the resurrection, Lord. May you be resurrected in each and every one of our lives. Bless each and every one in the local assembly, Lord. We do miss one another. I'm sure I'm not the only one, Lord, that misses the fellowship and having services together. And I know that there's some praying together over the phone, which is wonderful, Lord. And we're praying for each and every one that you'll keep them safe, protect each one, but also bless them spiritually as they read the Bible and pray. May you quicken the word to them. As they listen to the prophet of God you sent to the end time, Lord, may you quicken his messages to our hearts. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and it came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. May the Lord bless the reading of his word today. It's been on my heart for some time about the Exodus, and I can't seem to get it off my mind. So we know that there's going to be another Exodus for the people of God today. Brother Branham talked about a third Exodus, that it would happen at the end. And he preached a message called the Third Exodus, which I would encourage you to listen to. And this first Exodus was a natural people going to a natural land, the Promised Land. And they were led by a prophet. They were led by a supernatural God who was made visible by a pillar of fire that led the people. And Israel, they came out of Egypt where they were in bondage, and they went to this Promised Land, the land that was given to them by God to Abraham and his seed. Now, it's interesting to note that Israel was supposed to stay in the Promised Land, but they got out of position. And when you look back, that God made the promise to Abraham, and Abraham was supposed to stay in the Promised Land, and he had trouble staying in that land. And then here we find Israel in bondage outside the Promised Land. And Brother Ram often said, God can only bless his people as they stay in the land that he promised them. So here's Israel. They're supposed to be in the Promised Land, but they got out of position. And Brother Bram talked in the third Exodus about why that happened. And he went back into Genesis and showed that it was through jealousy of Joseph's brothers. They hated him because he was spiritual and he had dreams and he foretold things. So the brothers actually rejected Joseph and sold him off. Now, what's interesting to me is Brother Branham types this to today, that Joseph was the type of the spiritual church. And the modern church always hates that spiritual church. The modern church does not want a Book of Acts church. Joseph, back in the Old Testament, Brother Branham typed him to that Holy Ghost-filled church, manifesting signs and wonders, just as the church did after Pentecost. So today, when I look at the battles we have today, and Brother Branham talked about how there's only two spirits, and they're operating in the church. One is intellectual, that does not want and rejects the supernatural leadership of the Holy Ghost. And the other one, the other spirit, the other power, is the true Holy Ghost church led by the Holy Ghost. So in this third Exodus, Brother Branham plainly says that the Promised Land today is a Book of Acts church. And I just want to read a short quotation from that, the third Exodus, from June 30th in the morning, 1963. Brother Branham says, why would God's people be out of the land? After all, God promised that, right? Right where the beginning was with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in Palestine. God gave them that land and said, this is it. Oh, then why would the people not be in the place that God provided him? Again, now this is me talking, but Brother Branham's talking about Israel's not in their Promised Land, and they should have been in the Promised Land. Here's Brother Branham continues. He says, why would the people not be in the place that God provided them? That's the question of today also. God, give us a Pentecost. He give us the Book of Acts. He give us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. He give us a land. And why we out of it? Why is the church out of it? Why isn't the great Christian church today living again in the book of Acts, bringing forth the same thing? There's some reason for it. That's the end of the quote. Now, when we think of this type, Moses, he was used by God to bring the children of Israel out. God confirmed Moses' ministry with signs and wonders and miracles. God plainly showed his power and brought the people out with a great deliverance. And we can see in the end time, once again, God sends a prophet again. Brother Branham's ministry vindicated him through signs and wonders, miracles. He was promised in Malachi 4 to come in the spirit of Elijah. And we certainly believe Brother Branham's ministry was the fulfillment of Malachi 4. He was that seventh church age messenger to come. And God once again brought a great deliverance through this prophet ministry. This time, in the age we're living in, it was not physical chains as they had down in Egypt. But in this day, it was chains of men's ideas and creeds which were contrary to the word of God and the will of God. And we have been delivered from the bondage of denominationalism. And we were to come into the promised land, the land of the Holy Ghost, the Book of Acts church on display again. That's what the purpose of the message of the hour was. God provided a prophet. God provided a lamb, a sacrifice. The blood was on the door. God saw the blood and the death angel passed over. You know, just this week they celebrate Passover around the world. And I always look back and I think about down in Egypt, how that they made the sacrifice and they dipped the hyssop into the blood and they put the blood on the door and the death angel came, and when he came and when he saw the blood, he passed over. What a beautiful, beautiful type for today. And today I still believe we need the blood. Some people don't want to talk about the blood. They don't want to talk about Jesus of 2,000 years ago. But I think that's all we need to talk about. We may not have to have the blood physically on the door as a token today, but we still need the token today. We need the token of God. And the token on display shows that that sacrifice has been made. Back in the Old Testament, when the blood was on the door, they couldn't have that blood without there being a sacrifice. And today, you can't have the true token without there being a sacrifice that you're pointing to. And the token shows that the price has been paid. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So today, it's the life that was in the blood of Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost on display. That's the token today. We know that's so true. In the Old Testament, the blood had to be on a public display. Today, the token must be on public display. Back in Egypt, what did people see? When they saw the token, they saw blood on the doorposts. It was obvious. Today, what do people see? Do they see the life of Jesus on display? God have mercy on us. Where can we see the life of Jesus on display? That's the token today. The token is not a physical stain that we put on. It's actually the spiritual, the literal life of Jesus Christ inside of us, living out through us, producing the same life that he produced when he was here. So when Israel went out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea. They saw God destroy the Egyptian army. And they went to the mountain of God. But what happened before they got to the promised land? You know, it's like Brother Branham said, why isn't the great church, Christian church today, living again in the book of Acts, bringing forth the same thing? There's some reason for it. And if we look back to the first Exodus after the children came out, what happened? They got to the mountain of God, and there was a delay. And as we've said many times, God always deals with us in a delay. Time is part of our test in this age. Time delays. And while Moses was gone, he went to get the Ten Commandments. What happened to the children of Israel? Now let me stop for a moment, because I've heard people kind of misuse this type in the Bible. I am not one of those people waiting for Brother Branham to come back. I believe he will come back in the general resurrection, but I do not believe he's going to have a private resurrection to finish his ministry. I've heard that. I heard people talk about getting tickets for the airplane and all kinds of crazy things. I don't believe that. I believe that came from a wrong spirit, and I believe that idea keeps people from moving on with God now. I saw it in a book one time. That Brother Branham had all the secrets and he has to come back, and somebody wrote it down that he has to come back and share these secrets. I don't believe that for one. I believe Brother Branham finished his ministry. And I'm not looking for Brother Branham come back to complete a ministry. I think God did what he wanted to do with Brother Branham. But I do want to look at something that did happen to the children of Israel while they were experiencing a delay in their exodus. Because an exodus is not just a coming out of, it's a coming out of and going into. So it's not, exodus is not complete unless you come out and then you go into the promised land. Israel came out of the land of Egypt, but before they get into the promised land, they had this great delay with Moses up in the mountain. Today we come out of the creeds of men and we're supposed to go into a Book of Acts church, and I think there's a delay. We're in a delay right now. So let's look at Exodus 32, verse 1. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in your ears, the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be the gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Oh my. So what happened during the delay? Aaron, he made a molten calf. Who did it? Aaron. Who does Aaron represent? He was the priesthood. He represents the ministry that was underneath the prophet's ministry. The ministry, while there's a delay, the ministry made a carnal replacement god out of molten gold. Now, I feel compelled to say this. In this time after Brother Branham's ministry, you can't say that Brother Branham pointed us to a new gospel. He pointed us to Paul's gospel. You can't say Brother Branham gave us false teaching, but we can say that in this time after his ministry, that the ministry supposedly under Brother Branham's ministry has done exactly that, filled with false teachers that have pointed the people to a replacement gospel, to something different than the original. And how did they do it? They injected their own ideas about what the message means. They've introduced ideas that are contrary to the original gospel. They've pointed people away from Pentecost, away from the original experience in the Book of Acts. And yes, I believe that is why we're not seeing amongst God's people following this message what we should be seeing. We should be seeing another Book of Acts. We should see another Pentecostal church filled with the Holy Ghost. But why don't we? Because we have many of the most popular preachers and ministries pointing to something else. They have made another molten god. They created a false idea. Just as Aaron, with his skill, and he was able to make this molten god, and you're, it's surprising to look into the Bible and see that Aaron did this, but he did. The people wanted it, and he gave it to them. So you can listen to ministries today. They go on and on and on. And really, it's just all their own thinking, guessing at things that they were told not to guess at. They can preach a series of multiple sermons on the third pool, and I'm convinced they have no idea what the third pool means. What is it? They're emphasizing the wrong thing. They're holding above the people an idea that's a false idea. People today don't need a more intellectual religion. They don't need all these different ideas and emphasis on the wrong thing. What people need, all of us need now more than ever, is a fresh experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the land of promise. Not going round and around with men's creeds and men's ideas and all this intellectual teaching and using Brother Branham's quotes to point away to something else. They're doing the same thing that Aaron did. They're creating a false god for people. God help us. That's the same bondage we were delivered from. That's the bondage that this message came to take us out of. All the Methodist ideas and the Baptist ideas and all the different denominations. When you look at the ideas of these men, yes, there's partial truth in it, but the twist is when they inject their own ideas contrary to the original gospel. When they get away from that original Pentecostal experience, when they get away from the supernatural power of God and the supernatural church and destroying the expectation of the people. God help us. God sent us a prophet to take us out of that nonsense. Oh God, bring us back to Pentecost. Pour out your spirit upon us. I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which is another type in the Exodus. Because we have a prophet just like Moses. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, many were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's run to Christ. Let's not let the delay turn us from the goal. Let's not let the moral decay of this society we live in turn us from the land of promise, the expectation of that land. Listen, the land is yours. God promised Abraham the land, and the land is yours. And despite all that Israel did, that land was theirs. God gave us the land. He gave us the land of the Holy Ghost. He intends for us to possess that land. Never let your eyes turn away from that. No matter what's happened, no matter how you might have fallen, no matter what the devil's done, no matter what, never let the devil steal that fire that's in you, that you will produce a Book of Acts church. You could say, well, I know another brother or another sister and they've produced a Holy Ghost religion. But we should never be satisfied until that's manifested in each and every one of us. Brother Bram said all 9 spiritual gifts should operate in each local assembly. So why should we satisfy with less than that? God help us. God gave us the land. He intends for us to have it. In the third Exodus, Brother Bram said, he was talking to a Catholic man, and the Catholic man was saying, the Catholic Church is the true church. And Brother Bram said, if that church is a church of God, let us see it bring forth like the first church did then. Let us see it produce the things that they did at the first place. Now, Brother Bram's talking to a Catholic man. And he's saying, hey, the Catholic Church is right. And the Catholic Church did this, and the Catholic Church did that. And we have all this great things we did. Brother Bram's saying, if you are the church, the real church of God, then let me see you produce exactly what the first church did. Now, you could take that same statement of Brother Branham and apply it to all the churches. And I include this local assembly. And you say, hey, if we claim to be the church of the living God, where is that church producing the same thing as the original church? Where is it? Let me see it bring forth the original. But why can't it bring forth? Because it's hybrid. The Catholic Church is hybrid. And whenever any church will mix creeds with the Word of God, it dies right there. And it will never reproduce the original seed. It might look better. It might sound more intellectual. But it cannot reproduce the original. I believe the whole purpose of this end time message was to reproduce Jesus Christ in the church, just like he produced in the Book of Acts church. Brother Branham did not come. God did not vindicate this ministry and send a message and watch over it to produce a modern intellectual Christ. He came with the purpose that through this ministry, all creeds be torn down. And that same Christ that we saw in the first church, casting out devils, healing the sick, speaking in tongues, prophecy, miracles, that same church will be on display again at the end time. But how are we going to have that today when so many so-called message churches belittle the expectation of the supernatural? They belittle it. Say, you're in the first pole. We're in the third pole. God help us. But listen, brothers and sisters, it's not all bad news. I believe there's a bride. And she's been predestinated. She will never, ever accept the creeds of men. And she is ready and waiting for this Exodus. She not only believes, but she has the Holy Ghost. She has a living Christ in her. And she knows better than to accept all the nonsense being preached. She knows Christ will have a bride without spot or wrinkle. And that bride will be like him because he lives in her. And she will wear all the gifts he's given to her. She's not ashamed of him or his gifts. She's not ashamed of the original gospel. She's not ashamed of a Pentecost. Anybody that's had an experience with the Holy Ghost would never be ashamed of a Pentecostal experience, because that's the only experience that the Church of the Living God has. How can someone be beyond Pentecost when they never had an experience like the day of Pentecost? The bride will never accept creeds of men. No matter how popular the preacher is, no matter how shiny his golden calf is that he makes, doesn't matter. Brothers and sisters, there's something on deep down inside of me. I know that God will have his people. He may test his bride, but he's confident that she will not fail like Eve, because she's predestinated to overcome in this age. She will not hybrid his word. She will believe his word, and she'll be looking for his coming. I'm looking for that church. Ever since God dealt with me and opened my eyes and touched my heart, and I believe God gave me the Holy Ghost and quickened his word to me and showed me things to come, and supernatural things happen in my life, I believe that that same supernatural God has been leading us to the place where he's going to pour out his Spirit, just as he did on the day of Pentecost, and produce another book. It may be a short, quick work. It may be right at the end, but if you're not expecting God to do that, why would he ever do it with you? Jesus comes to those who are looking for him. And I believe that this outpouring of the Holy Ghost is going to come to those that want it. And those that want intellectualism, those that belittle the supernatural power of God, they'll be outside of what God's doing at the end. They will find themselves like following Dathan and Korah and false idols, holding on to their golden calves as they crumble within the falling, crumbling of the earth. Brothers and sisters, I believe we're at the end. I believe there's a third Exodus coming. You know, if you listen to Brother Branham preach the third Exodus, it's a wonderful sermon. Let me just read a portion that he reads at the end. He says, we are in an Exodus. Do you believe that? I believe we're in an Exodus. I don't believe God brought us out of Crete just to leave us in the wilderness. He's going to take us all the way in. We are in an Exodus. And leaving and turning the tapes off for a moment, oh my friends, brother, my brothers, both present and here on the tapes, let me as your brother, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, come out in this Exodus. For all that's left behind will bear the mark of the beast. Come out of Babylon. Come out of this confusion. Come out of these systems and serve the living God. This angel of the covenant, Jesus Christ in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be but become equal with God. Now he's a pillar of fire in that same form that he was back there, bringing that first Exodus, bringing the second Exodus, and he is here in the third Exodus. The first Exodus, what did he do? He brought them out of a natural land to a natural land. The second Exodus, he brought them out of a spiritual condition into the spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now he's bringing them from the spiritual baptism of the Holy Ghost right back into the eternal land of the millennium and the great hereafter. Same pillar of fire, by the same anointed system, the same God doing the same things, and the same word declared the first one, declared the second one, the same word declared the second one, declared the third one, and here we see it among us. Come out, oh, come out of this chaos, come to the living God, come to the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And now he's in our flesh dwelling among us. Come out and serve the living God. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, there's something in my heart that is stirred, Lord. Lord, we talk about Easter, we talk about a resurrected Christ, but Lord, there is a church in the last days. There is a body, an invisible union of individual believers that have been truly born again of your Spirit. And they will receive the same experience that they had on the day of Pentecost. Lord, I believe the Holy Ghost is here with us. But Lord, I believe there's something greater coming, Lord. I believe that you're going to pour out your Spirit. And Lord, to think that the first Exodus, a natural people going into a natural land, the second Exodus is actually people being born again through Christ, coming into the Holy Ghost. And the third Exodus here is for all those that have the Holy Ghost experience going into the millennium and the hereafter. Oh Lord, give us the Holy Ghost now. I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, could have a real experience with the Holy Ghost, oh God. May their expectations be, Lord, that in this time of delay that they can visit with you, Lord, that they can have a real experience with you. Lord, I believe when we turn to you with all of our heart, when we seek you with all of our heart, we will surely find you. I thank you for your mercy. Lord, I thank you for Calvary I thank you for the blood that was shed. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Ghost, for the quickening power. Lord, I thank you for your faith that works in us. Lord, I thank you for something in us that refuses to accept creeds of men, no matter how popular or shiny it might be, no matter what it looks like. We'll not follow the popular trend, Lord, but we'll hold to that which is the original. They can say what they want, Lord. We want to be what you want us to be, Lord, a Book of Acts church. Lord, we're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Lord, I pray in this difficult time now where the government shut down society, Lord, help us, Lord, to dig deep. Help us, Lord, to consecrate ourselves to your word, to the Bible, to praying, to feeding on the message of the hour. Lord, I feel that you're calling us to that. Help us, Lord. Speak to us, O God. I ask you to bless your people on this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. I thank you for listening in. Covet your prayers. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. And as I said before, if anyone needs anything, please reach out to us. It's an awkward time for everybody, but please let us know. We want to help one another. We'll find a way. We'll make it through this. God bless you. Thank you.